I'm really excited. I was over to Brother Justin Brown's, and he drug out these DVRs, and they're on the Genesis, on the date of our Earth, and where did the dinosaurs come from? How many like to hear that one? Amen. Yeah, yeah. You know reptiles, they never stop growing. They just keep growing, growing, growing. So what's new? What's the date of the world? You can go right back to Genesis and start reading where Adam was 931 years old when he died, and you just bring it right up, go right past the Noahic flood. Very interesting. It's about 6,000 years old. Don't let some people lie to you and say, well, it's 2.5 billion years. Well, 20 billion years. Were you there? I've got a record book right here that says that this is what it is. And so I was very excited about it. I want to tell you that I love the creation story. When I was a little boy, I was all excited, and all of a sudden they threw at me in high school, dinosaurs. And this dirty, rotten, filthy, lying teacher who had no foggy told me it was true and told me it's true because it's in the textbook. That's what he told me. And I was baffled. And I'll be honest with you, it rocked me. It really rocked me. And thank God I had a pastor that loved me and said a few things from the pulpit that really encouraged me. And then after that, I started studying. And God has certainly, the other day I found out something I never even thought of. You know, we have a lot of, about 200 years ago, they started talking about the gap theory because they started finding dinosaur bones. And the gap theory is this. On the first day, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. On the second day, God made the firmament. That's like a capsule or a bubble of water over the world. You say, it's not there. No kidding. The Bible says the flood with that water from above came down. Duh. And so that's not too figured out. So on the third day, God separated land from the water. And he gave us our fruit trees. Now, I call this the fruit and nut today, amen. Gave us the fruit trees and all the living vegetables, the vegetation. God gave us that. On the fourth day, God put the sun in orbit and the moon in the orbit and gave us all the planetary and all the stars and put them in orbit and put them in motion. That's how Lewis and Clark got from St. Louis, Missouri, all the way over to Fort Clatsop, over to Astoria, Oregon. In fact, I was just there last week, and I saw Lewis and Clark, and said hi to them. They didn't say anything to me because they were just a statue. But anyway, I was there. I was there right at the mouth where they came out, and that's why that Lewis and Clark could come across this country, and they drew maps, and the maps at the one point at the most was 40 miles off. That is the greatest distance off. They didn't have GPS, and they didn't have their wives. It was just, they plotted it, and they did it with a sextant. The sextant has a little marker, kind of like a telescope in it. It's got a 360-degree dial on it. It's got a little thing that's level on it. And they take it off the horizon, take it off the stars, and that's how they mapped the United States of America. So here's the problem. Years ago, there was a group of people that couldn't explain the dinosaurs, and they said, well, there must be a long gap. There must be a long time zone. So the first day, but the problem is that the Greek word now means 24 a day. All through there's even Hebrew scholars that don't believe that God created the 24, they don't believe it, but they say, well, that is true that the word actually means 24 a day. So here's our problem. Not my problem. It's the evolutionist problem. So you're telling me that you've got on the third day, God made all the plants and all the apples and all the nuts. He made some of you on the sixth day, but anyway, and all the nuts and all the trees and all the vegetation on the third day. Then on the sixth day, he made the creeping things, which are our bees that pollinate and all the rest of the stuff. So you're telling me that there's thousands and thousands of years between that? I tell you, you are out of your mind. Because that old flower needs somebody. Now, I know the wind can do it, but it is not as perfect. That's why America is so afraid that we're losing our honeybees. Because they're dying off and they can't figure it out. And it's really bad because us farmers, we like to have those old bees out there doing their work. Amen. So anyway, that's one proof right there that says there's no way. There is no way possible that those flowers and trees could stay alive for 1,000 years unless they had a pollinator. I didn't say a politician. I said a pollinator. Amen. All right, let's stand and read the Word of God tonight. I always like to stand, give God the honor of reading the Word. We're Genesis chapter 1. I am considering, I used to cuss a lot of preachers for putting on videos in church. And boy, I'll tell you what, I got some videos that are just blow your mind. This guy has debated, what's that Hamanuchi, what's the scientist? Hamanuchi, huh? No, yeah, Bill Nye, and there's some other ones that they're discussing. You know, he's telling about the billions and billions of years. Well, he won't go up against this guy again because he shut him down. And this guy graduated from Miles Anderson College, just great guy, preacher. By the way, I'll just give you a side note. He has gone against the American textbook companies and all this. And by the way, 10 years ago, the IRS put him in jail for 10 years. He just got out. I wonder why. In the beginning, that shows us that we had baseball early in the beginning. Amen. In the big inning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who did it? God. And the earth was out form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. There was light. Wonder how many light years it took to get the light there. Well, the Creator of light has no boundaries, has no time. When he says there's light, there's light. And God saw the light and that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and morning were the second day. Do you see anything was left out of there? Well, the first day, God said it was good. Do you see that in this next one? Day two? No, because God knew that he was going to use that. He said, well, are you telling me that God knew the world was going to... God knows everything. You say, well, I can't figure out God. Well, he wouldn't be much of a God if you could figure him out. Amen? And God said, verse 9, and God said, let the water under the heavens be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, not dirt. Earth. My daddy used to get mad at me. I said, look at all this dirt. He said, son, this is earth. It's not dirt. Dirt's what you got behind your ear and in your ear. Amen. God called the dry land earth, and gathered together the waters, and called the he seas. And God saw that it was... Oh, I'm glad he's got back to that one, amen. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seeds, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after... So every time you eat an apple, it's a he. Right there, didn't say after her kind, said his kind. Whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seeds after its kind. So every time you go out and mow the grass, you're cutting Mr. He grass, amen. Tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself, and after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And evening and morning were the third day. All right, third day, on the fourth day. And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens, and divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens, to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. Tonight, how many saw the moon? Oh, man. It was beautiful. Isn't it amazing? Marcia and I were driving in, and that moon was just huge. And all of a sudden, just like that, it was down like that. And I said, Marcia, did you see that? Yeah. She said, and then we went over there and took some food over to building number two, came back, and that crazy moon's smaller. And it's way up. And I said, man, how can that be? Just a few minutes we drove, that moon is up that high. Anybody know why it gets so big? Why it looks so big? Come on, teachers.
Atmospheric.
That's right. We're looking through the atmospheric, and it magnifies it. Amen. All right. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. I'm glad we have darkness. I'm glad we can go to sleep. Very interesting. It's more dangerous at dark, because there's a lot of nocturnal animals out there, and we're supposed to be in bed, amen, not chasing around like a bunch of idiots. But anyway, all right. Thank you. Fifth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly. This is where a lot of us boys are really happy about this. The moving creatures that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. I love that. And the God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let the fowls multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind. It was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Sixth day, I call this a creepy day. Amen. God made all the creepy things. Amen. And God said, let us make man. This is his crowning. This is the crowning creation right here. Let us make man in our image. You say, wait a minute, I thought we only believed in one God. We do. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. This word right there means Elohim. It's a three in one. One man says, I can't believe that. Well, you go to hell if you don't believe it. Or you say, I'm trying to figure it out. You'll go insane. So it's kind of hard to figure the Trinity out. after our likeness. Let them have dominion. Does anybody know what dominion means? Dominion means that they have power over. They are to be the caretaker of. The animals are not to be our caretaker. The animals not tell us what to do. We're supposed to tell the animals what they're supposed to do and where they should go and what they, and so on and so forth. Amen? Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. This is my life verse. That means I can go fishing. And over the fowl of the air, that means I can go pheasant hunting. And over the cattle, that means I can go deer hunting and elk hunting. Amen? And over all the earth. And over every creeping thing. So that means when I see a spider, I kill it. When I see a snake, I stop. No, I don't. I run. Things that creep upon the earth. So God created men in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And so God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and... What do you mean, read? It means plenish. It means to bring up children. It means to plenish it. It means to fire up. And subdue it. And have dominion over the fish and sea. There you go again. You can't say nothing about me going fishing because I'm just doing what the Bible says. Amen. And when I go pheasant hunting and so on. Over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. You all know that they were all vegans back in those days. Yeah, they were. Yeah. No animals ever killed yet. Not until Adam and Eve sinned. And then God had to kill the animal to make a sacrifice. And saying, look at this little innocent animal. Adam and Eve, you made that little animal to have to die for you. Huh. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. By the way, they found some, what do they call them, saber-toothed tigers. They were petrified. Guess what they found in their stomachs? Vegetation. They found some way up in the Alaska area, and they found ferns. So how in the world did they get ferns up there? Because there was a catastrophic event. It was called the deluge, the great deluge. It was called the Noahic flood. And that's where we got our four seasons. You see, this canopy or this firmament that was above us kept this world exactly the same temperature. It's an incredible thing. But when... Did you ever think, how in the world did, when something dies, they kind of ferment, and then they decay, and you can't find anything about, I mean, they're just bones laying there. How in the world can they find these woolly mammoths up in the caves, ice caves up in Alaska? I've seen some of the woolly mammoths, parts of them, at a place up in Juneau, Alaska. How did that happen? Why do they have ferns in their intestines? God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day, and on the seventh day he rested. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. I'll look at a few things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Isn't it wonderful that God has given to us his word, the word of God, that you hold. How many have one in your hand today? Raise it up. Raise your Bible up. Yeah, we're Bible believers. That's right. You need to bring a book to a Bible to church. If you don't have one, we've got one for you. Isn't it wonderful that God has given to us in the word where we came from? He said, this is how it happened. In the beginning, God. And he created man in his own image. And he created male and female. He said, we're to plunge the earth. That's our responsibility. So that's how we got here. And by the way, he tells us what we're supposed to be doing while we're here. What are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to tell the people about Jesus Christ, amen? We're supposed to tell them about the wonderful works of Christ. And he tells us what we're supposed to do with the planet Earth and where we're going to spend eternity in the future. The Bible said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." I love creation story. I don't know if there's anything more I love to tell about than creation story. I suspect I've preached this story about creation and mission field more than I've preached it in the United States of America. It seems that to those that have never heard it, they get so excited and want to hear more about it. One time I was in the Philippines, I was preaching in this grand assembly of 1,800 high school students. And I got a little animated and creative, and I told the creation story, and I told them on the fifth day, God made the fish, and I said that the porpoises and the whales, and just went on and went on, you know. And then I said, then he also made the birds. Now I started whistling, going crazy. And those kids, and they looked at me and they said, "You funny G.I. Joe. You funny G.I. Joe." They call you G.I. Joe. Well, they used to. I don't know if they still call us that anymore, but I haven't been back there for a couple of years. But anyway, every time you come way back in the jungle, man, "Hey, G.I. Joe." I say, "Hey, Phil the Filipino." But anyway, they didn't laugh. I don't know why. I love to tell the creation story. I love to tell the story about the first day God created the heavens, the earth, the water, and the light. I love to tell on the second day that God created the firmament. The magnificent thing about the firmament, I'm still a scuba diver. I haven't done it very much. I haven't scuba dived for 4 years now. But when I scuba dive, you jump, you put on that suit and put on your regulator, and you put tanks of air, not oxygen, puts a tank of air on the back of you, and you go down, and you can go down 100 feet, 105 feet. When you go down 105 feet, your bubbles are about that big around. They're just, they're just small. You get at 10 feet, their bubbles are about like this. When you exhale, the bubbles go up about like this. But the farther you go down, smaller you get. Well, that's the pressure that's under it. And at 33 feet, the pressure doubles. We right now, if you're at sea level, on your body, pressure is 14.7 pounds per square inch. And when you go down to 33 feet in the water, that puts twice the amount of that pressure on you, and it's 29 pounds per square inch on you. And that's why when you go down to 100 feet and you take a plastic can with you down there, and you take your regular and put a little there, that thing will go up, and about halfway up it explodes. It's the most incredible thing. Don't try it at home. You shouldn't do that. But anyway, it works. I'll promise you that. I don't know why I know that, but it works. So every 33 feet, you double your atmospheric pressure. And so at 29, and then you go to, what is 29? 29 is 62 pounds, and you just keep going down and down and down. Well, when the firmament was on, many people believe that doubled the pressure that we have at 29 feet per on us compared to 14.7. We also know that when you get the compass out, our magnetic field is waning. It keeps waning just a little bit. They know that. And they believe that the electronic field, the magnetic field, was a great lot stronger. There's a group of guys down in Texas who were believers, and they started thinking about that, a couple scientists, and they thought, you know what? Let's see what happens by putting a man in a tank hyperbolic tank. And some of you people maybe had to go in there for to get healed quicker. They found out, they put you in the hyperbolic chamber, they pour oxygen right at your wound, and you can almost see your wound healing up. It's the most incredible thing. In fact, Benefis has one. Or if a diver went down and came up too quick, he gets the bends and everything's out of whack. He's got nitrogen in his blood and he has to be put down to a depth and then brought up very easily and carefully. Well, these guys down in Texas, they were experimenting with this, and they had a rattlesnake, most ugliest rattlesnake. They said he would just come right at you. And I thought that it'd be a good idea to kill it. But anyway, they used him for experiment, and they put that stinking rattlesnake in a hyperbolic chamber. And they poured on the pressure to him, doubled the pressure, which they thought, quote unquote, may be like at the creation with the firmament. And they put that on there, and that and accelerated the magnetic field, and they found that stinking snake became docile, and after it was in there for a little bit, they went in and milked it, and guess what? No poison. So that's some things that are going on. You know, a lot of things we don't really know. Because we hear so much of the evolutionists, their ideas about how that we were, you know, a Big Bang theory. Well, if it was a Big Bang theory, where'd you get the bang in the first place? That's what I want, you know. They talk about us climbing out of the water as an amoeba, and we all become monkeys, and from monkeys we become. But nobody's ever found that missing link, have we? They tried to, the chromium man and all that, you know, and they found out all that was a tooth they found down in Africa in a cave, but they built this Cro-Magnon man around it, you know. Some very interesting things are going on out there. There are some people that really say that that's a bunch of baloney and the creation story is true. It's absolutely true. So we talked about the pollination of the bees and things that go around and pollinate things. And on the third day, on the fourth day, gives it the light and the amazing things that our world is, our universe is so amazing. Now they've went in with a Hubble telescope, and I've been watching some of these things, and they're still sending out pictures. It's very interesting. He got so far that naked eye or telescope from some of the greatest observatories that they have. They're finding that they cannot see what they want to see, so they jump on this little electronically. You get on the telescope, and they're seeing things that they've never been seen before. How many of you in high school remember when our teacher used to say there was a black hole? I remember that. Yeah, there's a black hole. That's baloney. They found out there's at least 170 different constellation paths in that black hole. And they're finding magnificent. Go into the internet and look up NASA, and look up Hubble Telescope, and you'll see some of the most amazing pictures that you ever believe. You know what? It just reminds me. God said He made these for His own. The Bible says in Psalms, He said that God knows them all by name. He knows all their numbers and knows them all by name. Brother, I can't even remember my grandkids when they come over. In fact, when I was growing up, my name was Hey You for the first 8 years of my life. And I answered to it because I knew it was usually me they were talking about. So the lights in heaven are amazing. It's amazing how that we, some of you fellows, I don't know if you remember this or not, but when they started putting out the missiles here at Malmstrom, the Air Force Base, how did they target those things? But how did they sight it? They sighted with stars. They, brother, lives in Kansas City now. Bart Dame. Bart Dame, he used to take people around to the T9 trainer. In fact, I went so many times with so many people. I actually one day I gave this speech and told them everything about the missile and everything. And this guy said, "Wow, how long have you been working here?" I said, "Never have. I just followed him so much." He might. But they're incredible things that the first now, of course, the GPS and all the other things that are the digital and all those other things they got them. But it is amazing. It is amazing what those stars were, amen. Aren't you glad God made those stars, amen? By the way, your family couldn't came across the pond unless they would have been able to do that with their ships, amen. On the fifth day, God made the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air. What an amazing thing! I was looking at a deal the other day about these sea creatures they've never seen before. And they found some Japanese trawler. How many saw that? Some Japanese trawler found that crazy thing, and they don't know what it is. And they call it a freak. I'm telling you, they just didn't see it. How many have heard of the Loch Ness Monster? Yeah. So there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of things down the sea we don't know. They say that we know more about the moon than we do about our oceans. Very incredible. In fact, when you're scuba diving, you're wondering, how come they didn't tell us about this in scuba diving school? I went from the predator to the predatee now. On the sixth day, God made all the beast. It's an incredible thing. Incredible thing how what God has made for us. I want to tell you something. The Bible said to Adam, he said, "Adam, I want you to name all these animals." Boy, there'd be a lot of unnamed animals if I was Adam, I tell you what. What in the world is that thing? God is, by the way, God never intended man to be in the dark concerning his spiritual condition. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16, you see there it says, "And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." So in the creation story literally has to do with salvation. Salvation comes from God. He's the author of salvation, John chapter 1, verse 12. "But as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the Son of God, even to them that believe on his name." That word power means privilege. That has to do with the right. We have the right to go to God and get saved. Amen. "Which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but God." And he puts it all back and said, "Hey, I created you for me." Secondly, he gives us the Holy Spirit as his agent. John chapter 3, verse 8, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." I can't tell if you're born of the Spirit. I can't tell if you're saved. I can see, you know, "By their fruits ye shall know them," the Bible says. But, boy, if I'm just looking at you, I can't tell. You start talking, I can pretty much tell, and so can you. The Word of God is his instrument. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." James 1, 18, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be the kind of first fruit of his creation." So, we have the reason for creation, a reason for us to know creation is about salvation, but also the biblical evidence of regeneration, the witness of the Spirit, Romans chapter 8, verse 16. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." That's why we come together. We start talking. That witness bears to his witness, and my witness bears to his. You know, we may not all be Baptists, but if you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and he rose from the grave, and you realize there's nothing you can do except invite the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God says we're saved. There are just some people who have been blinded by a lot of things. A lot of people lied to them. A lot of people told them the untruths. Some people tell you, well, you got to be baptized to be born again. Well, Paul the Apostle, they had some problem about circumcision, remember? He said, no, that's not what it says. It says you must be born again through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not of the flesh, it's of the Spirit. Also, there's when we get saved, there should be a cessation of habitual sinning. When a guy gets saved, he should not go the place he used to go. He should not run around the crowd he used to run with. I'll promise you how you can take care of that. Just tell them you're a Christian. And they look at you like the missing link. And you say, I just want you to know that I was over to Pastor Shear's place and I got saved. I got Jesus in my heart. They said, hey, by the way, you won't have any problem with your friends after that. They won't be around you. You won't cuss anymore. You won't be chewing anymore. You won't be spitting anymore. You won't be smoking anymore. You won't be drinking anymore because you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. There's a change in your life. There's a great change in life. Brother, I'll tell you what. One man said, hey, did you stop sinning after you got saved? He said, no, but I just don't enjoy it like I used to. Huh? Is that right? That's truth, isn't it? Yeah. How come you jump every time you hear somebody? It's when I was a little boy and doing some things. And my daddy caught me doing a few things. Man, I'll tell you what, he was looking at me and I jumped. Amen. Well, I wish I could tell you that, but I'm afraid that somebody would take it and run with that thing. I was out on a tractor one day, and I didn't think my dad was any place around, and I'd been to a wedding, and at the wedding they gave out certain things that you could, and I tried one of those, and I was heading back to the woods, riding out of that old tractor, and looked like I was on fire in certain places in front of my mouth. And I'm cultivating. Anybody know what cultivating is? Cultivating is you take a tractor and you have eight or four rows, and you got these little knives that go right alongside, and you can't get off a half inch or you'll run over the plant. And what you're trying to do is cultivate all the vegetation out there that's not supposed to be there. And I'm studying this. I'm really watching it, but I'm enjoying this thing I got at the wedding. And all of a sudden, I saw this. I have great peripheral vision. And I saw this, and I looks up, and it's my dad. And immediately, I stopped the tractor. And I sent out a couple smoke signals, thinking it was kind of funny. He said, boy, get off that tractor and go pack your bags. You're not my son anymore. Oh, my God. That wasn't good. Because my mama fed me good. I had a real nice soft bed to sleep on. I had good clothes to wear. I had life. And I had three sisters that just took care of me. Okay? I wasn't saved then. I just kind of blew it off. Went home and knew my dad wouldn't throw me out because I was the only son. And I was child labor, and he liked me driving the tractor. Amen. It wasn't good. But when a man gets really saved, he starts thinking about who he is influencing. She starts thinking about how people may view them and say, you know what? That's really not the way Jesus would do it, amen? You remember what it used to be, What Would Jesus Do? There's a great book, Charles Sheldon wrote that. So when a man gets saved, or a girl gets saved, or a boy gets saved, or someone gets saved, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, whatsoever is born of God doth not commit sin, or does not continue to sin. For his sin remaineth in him, his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Or he's been born of God, and he can't stand doing that anymore. Now, Scripture does say there are some that will keep at it and keep at it and keep at it, and they will they'll tarnish themselves, and finally God just says, okay, go ahead. We sear, the Bible talks about the sear their conscience. You may see some people who've been Christian for a long time, and you're looking at them and say, you know what, I don't know why they do that. They're Christians. And the reason they're doing it is because they have seared their conscience so bad. You see, when years ago they used to sear the flesh, it was to a couple things. One, it was to purify that wound. Secondly, it would burn the nerve endings and it would stop the hurt. That's not good, not having nerve endings. And the reading of your Bible every morning intensitates and gives intense to your conscience and say, I will not go that way. I'm not going to be that way. I'm going to serve God. Oh, God, forgive me. When we may lie or we may say something, or something comes out of our mouth, we just, good night, why did I even say that? Well, I wouldn't even think about it. It comes out. The Christian that is that's intense about serving God, right there immediately, says, oh God, so sorry. That's what it's talking about here. That's what it's talking about there. You'll find a lot of Christians, they just blow it off. You know, I'm seeing churches today that God is not holy anymore. I'm seeing churches that they just blow off the fact that God Almighty is the Almighty God, who deserves our holiness and our reverence. And it's kind of like a nightclub at their church. They show no aptitude of serving God. The Bible says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. The seed of God is in him. First John chapter 5, verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. So we as Christians, when we become a Christian, we cease from serving our old father, Satan. And we walk in newness of life. That's what we're supposed to do. But unfortunately, we still have this old Adamic nature in us. When I got saved, I didn't lose that nature of mine. But I have the Holy Spirit of God, who is continually walking. Many times I pray to the Lord in the morning. I say, dear God, I want to thank you for the Holy Spirit of God who comes to show me and to encourage me to do right and keep me to shun wrong. Another thing we get is that we get the love of the brethren when we become Christian. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You say, but I know a lot of Christians are mean at each other. Yep. Same way with their other things that they do. It's a sin. And they need to get right with God. They need to ask God to forgive them. And if they've done anything against them, they need to go and get it right with them. I've seen people in church come up to somebody and say, I want to tell you, I haven't been very kind to you. And I want you to forgive me. There's some things that I've said about you, and I want you to forgive me. Will you please forgive me? And I've seen that person who they have said things about turn on them like a hyena and rip them to shreds. I don't think that's what Jesus meant in the Word of God. I have seen it. I can't believe it. I said, wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Love should abide in you. If you've accepted Christ, your personal Savior, you should forgive. Now, I think it's a very foolish thing for you to say something to somebody that you've thought about. You haven't done anything. You haven't said anything. The Bible says those things done in secret should remain in secret. But if you have caused that person harm and literally regurgitated stuff about that person, you need to go to them and say, hey, you know what? And they know And you need to go to them and say, hey, I'm sorry. I know one deacon came to me and said, you know, Pastor, I went to another church and there's a man that kept doing some things, very, very mean and vicious things towards my family. And finally I came up to him and I approached him and I said, hey, I want to tell you, I really don't appreciate what you're saying about my family and saying about me. And the guy says, well, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And the guy says, is that it? Yeah, he said, the Bible says you're forgiven. You're supposed to forgive me. Well, there's certain things about character, and there's certain things about life that you need to be very careful. You just don't, I'm sorry. Because usually the guy that says he's sorry, what? He's not sorry. He's just sorry he got caught. So the Christian, we ought to be very careful about, one, attacking somebody's identity or attacking somebody's person. And we ought to be convicted about it. We're a Christian. We ought to be convicted. And the Bible says, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. He that loveth his brother abideth in light, that there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But on the other hand, when someone comes to you and say, hey, I am so sorry, please forgive me, what is your response? You're forgiven. Why? Because Jesus says, you forgive those, what? Because, for Christ's sake, because God has forgiven you. Are you telling me that everybody in this auditorium today has not made a mistake or has not sinned? If you say you haven't, I'm calling you a liar. We've all failed. We've all said something bad. We've all stumbled over some stupid stuff. We've all done something that's just not right. And God said, hey, God said, you forgive because of Christ's sake, God has forgiven you. Faith. That's something else we get. Faith. Faith is just going on, even though you can't see it. Faith is knowing it's right and knowing that there are some things going to happen in your life that you don't know how to handle, but you're just going to keep serving God. That's faith. You're going to keep serving God no matter if your family doesn't like it. Your mom and dad may cast you off. Your family may say, you're just a crazy recluse. You're an idiot. You're one of those Bible beaters. By faith, you know that God said, hey, be faithful. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight to understand what you've given us. How that you saved us, which is really a regeneration, which is, it touches the whole man. That regeneration means that just as a father and mother comes together and has a baby, that's a regeneration of them. Lord God, when you said that you came in and saved us, we become a regeneration. Old Sheldon doesn't live here anymore. He's gone. I have a new life in Jesus Christ. I have a new Father, the God of heaven. And Satan, my old father, I am to put him away and keep him a distance away from me. God, help us to live.